Welcome to the November 6th Clean Water Commission meeting. I will now do roll call. Brenda Addis.
Here.
Christy Dunbar.
Here.
Michelle Gertz will not be here tonight. David.
Here.
Sue Marshall.
Here.
Justin Maynard.
Here.
Michelle Maynard.
Here.
Josh Seeds.
Here.
That would be Josh Seeds elect.
Fire
commissioner. I was already appointed. Now I'm just confirmed by the voters.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Okay, so has everyone had a chance to review the minutes from the last two meetings? And does anyone have any comments on the minutes? I'll give you a minute to look at them.
Not seeing anything that stands out to me. I move motion to approve as is.
Second.
There's just a typo at the bottom of the first paragraph. It says is instead of it. On which one? The first little public works clean water division. The last sentence.
Okay. So motion to approve as amended.
Seconded.
Any comments on the October minutes? Favor of approving the minutes?
Aye.
Any nays? All right. Any public comments? Okay, we'll go right into Eric is not here tonight, so we'll go into.
I'll just put on my Eric hat.
Oh, you're going to be Eric. Okay. Yeah.
Let's see. He, don't drip and drive. Eric just submitted a request to the Lower Columbia Fish Recovery Board to amend the scope of work and add activities into 2020 in an effort to spend down the remaining grant funds. As I explained last time, they had funded for 3 years but only did a scope of work for 2 years so that they would make sure that they were able to do what they wanted to accomplish, and they have, and they still have some money left over, so now they're doing their scope of work for the next year. The new activities include workshops targeting people with known leaks and additional leak check events. So I'm sure there'll be new flyers and things coming out soon about that. The watershed sign revitalization project. Eric let the public choose which new watershed sign design for 2 weeks, the voting. Sent that out, the link out to you guys. And over 3,000 people voted, and more than 7,000 people visited the website.
Wow.
The comments were great on Facebook.
And I'm sure they'll reveal the winner soon. He doesn't tell me who. I know, but who knows? There could have been a late last minute dark horse. He's also continuing to work on the watershed story map, which is targeting the launch in early January to coincide with the first installation of the new sign. So more to come on that in January. And then the other grant project that he's been working on is the private stormwater facility maintenance resources. Much of the work has been completed, including the footage, the photography, the 360-degree tour videos being shot. The completion timeline has been pushed back to summer 2020 for these materials. They're working with the Washington Association of Landscape Professionals to create a workshop for stormwater facility maintenance. I think there's just a lot there, and now they've got all the raw data, and now he needs to put that into a cohesive product that is going to be useful to the landscape professionals as well as homeowners associations and people who actually need to use and maintain this. So in order to get that done, in addition to this, the other ones, that timeline's been moved back to summer of 2020 instead of spring. The Stormwater Partners Symposium is next Wednesday, November 13th, from 3 to 5 p.m. in the Bud Van Cleve Community Room at the Luke Jensen Sports Complex on 78th. The Clean Water Commissioner should be receiving an invite. Please let me, well, actually you should probably let Eric know, because I won't get it until Tuesday or early Wednesday. If you need to have it resent. So, Friends of Trees Planting, put it on your calendar, Saturday, December 4th. Family, friends, and it's a lot of fun. They're going to be meeting at the Gathering Place.
I think December 14th.
Yep, sorry, yeah, December 14th.
Yeah.
I'm a little tired. Thanks for catching that. And the address is 2500 Northeast 78th Street, and that'll start at 8:45. If you don't want to plant trees, there's lots of other opportunities out there. They have people for signing in, doing checks, helping with the potluck. There's lots and lots of opportunities, so get a hold of Eric and he can help with that, or one of the Friends of Trees groups. Outreach events and presentations since the September meeting. The Clark Conservation District Watershed Stewards class was on September 18th. Eric made a presentation at that. There was a Student Watershed Monitoring Network. The teacher kickoff was on September 24th. The Columbia Springs Columbia River Watershed Festival was at Louisville Park on September 26th through the 27th. Did anybody help volunteer for that? I know we sent out the invite for that. Clark County Green Schools, they had a teacher training on October 8th, and then he also gave a presentation at the Small Acreage Program on the Living on the Land, which was October 29th. So he has been very, very busy, as always. So that's the ARID report.
Thank you, Alice. Mm-hmm. AKA ARID. Okay, Jeff, are you ready to
continue? I'm ready. I won't take too much of your time this evening. We did a longer presentation last time I was here talking about capital stuff. But that process is moving forward, and we're getting close to finalizing this whole six-year plan. So I wanted to make sure we got back here, give you an update, and leave you with either an electronic or a hard copy of the plan as currently drafted for you to take a look at before we go to the council with it. So what I brought tonight was the four slides that we're going to show the council on December 3rd when we go to see them and consent. Alice was kind enough to post on here the electronic version of the plan, which I think we can probably make available to everybody through email, so you can take a look at it. I did bring, six copies of the plan if anyone wants to take a hard copy and take a look at it. So, and we can, if you want, zip through the electronic one tonight, too, and just kind of show you the sections and what's in there. But so basically, since we last spoke about this, we have kind of finalized our prioritization and our project list and compiled the report. And then it was, September? Or right after we talked with you last, I think, that Greg and I got a chance to go to a work session with the council. They were very supportive of, I think, what we're doing. They didn't have any real, pointed questions about why are you going and doing this or anything like that. So I thought it was a really, really productive and supportive meeting. And since then, the one thing that did come out of that discussion was that we're going to move back to a situation where the board actually adopts the stormwater capital plan similar to the way that they adopt the transportation improvement program, right? So long ago when we did these back in 2013, we did do that and have them officially adopt it. We did not last year when we started this process back up. This year we decided at the work session that would be a good idea. It's helpful for things like grant applications to have an adopted plan that you're referencing so our projects aren't on this. And just kind of helps to integrate the importance of the stormwater stuff with the rest of the transportation and parks planning that we do at the county. So I think it's a nice thing to do. As part of that, we do a SEPA, State Environmental Policy Act, determination of non-significance submittal, kind of covering all of those projects in the plan. That's been issued now, so there's a 15-day public comment period on that DNS that needs to end before we go to the board, go to the council for that approval. So I think the 22nd is the last day for comments on that DNS. And if anyone wants to read that, I can certainly make that available as well.
Is that ever controversial? I mean, these are restoration.
This is the first one I've been involved with, and I don't know.
Yeah.
I would think
not very controversial. Yeah, it's like in the other direction.
Right. Exactly. When we were filling it out, I was like, "This will actually help these things." I'm really looking for, are you going to adversely impact things?
And yeah.
Most of these projects, of course, will be. Go in the opposite direction, but it's an important box to check and make sure that's done. So then, like I say, we're in the process of getting on the board's on the council's schedule for December 3rd. That's not confirmed yet, but we're in the process of getting on there. So obviously, anyone is welcome to show up at that. I think that's one of the evening sessions if we get that one.
Mm-hmm.
And so we will. Let's quickly show you what we'll show now.
First and third Tuesdays.
First and yes. Third Tuesdays, yes.
Can I have a look at it while we're sitting here?
Anybody else?
Okay.
We can kind of share around a little bit. There's people sitting close together.
Mm-hmm.
We got the other one down there. We got enough to kind of look around. All right.
That's the one you were looking
at. How's all that
stuff? I don't know.
Put them in a paper airplane form and it'd be easier to distribute. All right.
I think you'd see cows.
Like I say, when we were here last time, I think the presentation we showed was very similar to what we did with the council at work sessions. So this is just a couple slides that go with the when we send in staff reports for these types of presentations. Lately, we've been also including some slides so that so we just kind of run through these a little bit with the council at consent. So obviously, we're here to adopt that plan, and we'll just kind of highlight a few of the major reasons that we're doing the plan. Obviously, the structural stormwater controls requirement in the NPDES Phase 1 permit is the driver of all of this, so these projects help us to meet those requirements. Secondarily, we also have underground injection control requirements under the WAC, Washington Administrative Code, so there are projects in this thing that relate to that. And overall, of course, stormwater management program goal is to protect surface water and groundwater from polluted stormwater, and that's what these are doing. So this adoption process, there's no requirement to do it. We don't have to, by statute, have this plan adopted, but like I mentioned, it kind of strengthens our grant proposals, formalizes our intent to do these projects, and sort of bolsters our role. And you saw this the last time, but this has changed a bit. We added a few more projects. I think I only had about 17 or so in there last time that we talked, but the final grouping was 27 projects, and we've got our four ongoing programs. I think the total is pretty close. So we were low when we came in before, and we wanted to shoot for close to $14 million, so we got pretty close to that. And once again, our primary focus is on water quality and some of those very urban watersheds like Cougar Creek and Suds Creek, where we're draining into Salmon Creek. And there's almost no water quality treatment currently. But of course, we got a few habitat projects like the Heritage Farm one that we talked about, some repairs, a little bit of property acquisition, and all the other categories that we talked about. So that's kind of how it finally shook out. And a lot of these 27 projects are going to be design phase only during this current iteration. Again, as we talked about before, probably telling you things you already know, sorry, but one of our strategies is that we want to front load a lot of design work so that we can be prepared to apply for grants in the upcoming years, and also because as we look forward to what ecology is doing as far as the requirements for scoring points on these structural stormwater projects, the current iteration of that point structure allows us to score our points kind of using our sweeping program and our property purchases. So we're kind of setting ourselves up to be able to score points on these kind of projects later by designing them now so we can build them, if that makes any sense at all.
Are you saying that budget's related just to the design?
Well, no, we're building stuff there too, but okay. Of that 27, there's a lot of design stuff. So we're not gonna build 27 projects in the 6-year plan. We're gonna probably build 15, 17, something like that. All right, and this you can't read, but this is a condensed matrix of the schedule, and obviously you can tell basically that as you get farther out in time, there's a lot more gaps because we're front loading the work that's represented here, and then we'll kind of start building some of those design projects as we get out to the end, and they will fill in as we go. So that's basically all we're going to show them on the 3rd. But the underlying document that is driving all of this.
I don't know if right now is a good time to interrupt on this. We'll do it later, but I was curious where you think that most of their questions will come, those four slides, or if you anticipate any of that.
You know, they've seen all those slides before.
We had a work session with them.
Yeah, so well. I'm not expecting a whole lot of questions. If they do have questions, I think it will probably focus on the pie chart and, you know, where we're spending the monies that we have programmed for this. Yeah. But again, there should be no surprises there for them at this point. So, yeah.
And is the money primarily from fees and grants?
Yes.
No general fund?
No general fund at all. It's all clean water fees, and currently we are not reflecting any grant revenues in that because we don't have any known grants. So the hope is that some of the stuff that we applied for grants this year, like the Heritage Farm, the Schreiber planting that we talked about last time, hopefully we'll get some grant monies for those, and then we'll just kind of plug those into the next iteration of the plan. So
kind of whatever priorities we're not going to get covered.
Yes. Yeah. We could just, and the more grant money we get, the longer we can stretch out those revenues.
So the $13 million that was already on there, that's already been secured for those projects?
Or? It's not secured in that each year we have to get our budget approved.
Right.
So the 2020 year there is representative of the budget ask that we put in for the 2020 year. So. But our cash flow projections over the next 6 years support that number.
Great. I was just wondering, with the front loading of the project, I think that's a great idea. Yeah. I was just wondering if that was going to be like sticker shock for you know, with the finance up front.
So. Yeah. No, it should be. It should be. Yeah, we should be in good shape without, say, raising the fee.
Over
or
the
like
whole 6 years.
Right.
That's
right.
Over the 6 years.
Yeah. Awesome. Divide
cool.
That. Six.
Yeah. We're averaging about 2 point something.
Oh, that's not bad.
A year. So.
Okay. When do you expect to hear about the Heritage Farm project as far as the grant?
Oh, the grants. we get the draft offer letter will come out in mid-January, usually around the 17th to 20th, somewhere in that range. Which is the first that we'll hear anything, and at that point we'll see if we're on that draft letter or not. If we are, great. If we're not, there's a comment/appeal period before they finalize. So if you really think you got, you know, the short end of the stick somehow, or they forgot to add all the points that we're supposed to get, then we could put in a, you know, a petition to have them relook at it. But typically, what you get in that January list is almost exactly what the final will be. So.
Right. And are these funds that now, well, hopefully soon, that the county will be in compliance with the GMA that you'll be eligible for when you weren't before? Is that
the pot? Actually, the ones that we applied for this year are strictly from a grant source that we are currently eligible for. So, so if we get offered these, we can take them, no problem. Actually, by way of another update, mm-hmm. on that grant front, the council, also at our work session, offered to send a letter to the Department of Ecology in reference to the $510,000 that we've already been awarded for grants last year, which we couldn't claim because of the issues with the GMA appeal. Since there's been some motion on that, a lot of motion on that recently, the council was willing to send a letter and sort of solicit Ecology to release that $510,000. So that letter actually went out today. So we're keeping our fingers crossed that there will be enough there that Ecology says, you know what, let's go ahead and release that money, because that would be helpful. Yeah. Thanks. Good questions. Okay. So I don't know if you want to take any time and go farther, and we could just kind of page through this really quick, and I can show you the sections, or I can just leave you with this and the online version. It's fine with me either way. There's very, not a lot to say without reading the plan, but it does describe kind of our process for prioritizing and the regulatory framework that goes through. I mean, I guess I could just zip to the topics like that.
Can we get a link to it?
Well, it doesn't actually exist like on the website yet until after it's adopted, then we will do that. Okay. But yeah.
Could you talk a little bit about your prioritization?
Sure. So, yeah, let's kind of zip through. But basically, we talk a little bit about the overall stormwater management program, why stormwater is important, what does the plan contain, the regulatory requirements. I kind of went over there a little bit, our policies and goals at the county for this. Guiding principles, brief descriptions of the types of projects that we have in these plans, capital repairs, water quality, hydrology, the stuff that's in that pie chart, essentially. Right? So we have a little description and then a little bit about our strategy for the six-year plan for each of these categories. There's the underground injection control, stream stabilization, and then our ongoing programs, our reforestation and the catch basin retrofits that go along with the overlay coordination, and then our retrofit planning, property acquisition, and the street sweeping. That it's all kind of ongoing. And again, a little blurb about the strategy for each during this time period. So plan development, that's where we start getting into priority setting. So basically our approach this time around, set our priorities, identify projects, verify those projects, program them for construction in a nutshell. So priority setting, basically we had four kind of top priorities. Always, every single time, required capital repairs. So if that makes it unreadable, doesn't it? Sorry. So our required capital repairs are always a top priority because take care of what you already have, right? Same thing with required underground injection control projects. We have high threat wells out there. I think we talked about that a little bit. We had 43 of them and about 19 left that we haven't knocked out of the park yet. So there's some of those in here. Water quality treatment in Suds Creek and Cougar Creek, the reason those are priorities is because that's where we started with our detailed, what did I call them a minute ago, basin studies, right? So we did Suds and Cougar this last year, so we've kind of looked very detailed at those areas. They're high needs areas, they're among the most polluted and developed areas in the county, so we kind of wanted to start there. And so there's a lot of projects in this plan related to those two creeks. As we go to more areas, we'll see those start to compete with each other, so we'll have probably less just Cougar Creek. It'll be more other places, too. So it's a little top-heavy in the Cougar and Suds right now for that reason. And then Whipple Creek, in response to capital planning efforts, watershed planning efforts that we had to do under the last permit term, we're kind of focusing on that area as a kind of developing part of the county to try to get ahead of some things hydrology-wise and kind of in response to that planning effort that we had to do under the permit. So those are the big ones. And there's a few bits and pieces that are not in that list. But we talk a little bit about how we identified the projects, how we verified the projects. So that's where you can learn a little bit about the basin study process that we've been doing. And then the programming just goes into the six-year matrix. Talks a little about where our funding comes from, Clean Water Fund and grant funding. A little bit of money from the Conservation Futures Fund that we'd leverage on those purchases. And then this has now been finalized, so if you want to look at the actual projects, this is the overall matrix showing what we're going to do each year. The matrix is broken down into engineering, which is the PE portion, right-of-way if we happen to have to buy anything in order to build these, and then CN is the construction costs, and these are all just estimated costs. They're going to change a little bit as we get into design, so they go up, they go down, but this is our basic flow through that six-year period. And at the end, you'll see your ongoing programs and the total of 13.852 or something like that. These are legacy lands acquisitions that are in the approved plan for legacy lands that they want to be buying. So some of these are ones that we might contribute to as we go forward. And then at the end of this, you just have a project index, so a list of all the projects. Your map IDs will correspond to locations on this map, which is a countywide kind of look. And then the blow-up area is there. So if you want to get a sense of where a lot of these are, again, you can see the concentration in Upper Cougar Creek, where we need a lot of work done. And then the last piece is project detail sheets. So for every project in that map set, there's a short one pager that sort of tells what the project's about, why we're doing it, basic timing, basic cost, and the location and a site photo, just to give you a little bit of orientation so you can kind of page through those if you want to see a little bit more detail about it. There's not a lot of detail here, but at least give you some idea of what we're thinking.
So the leveraging funds related to the legacy lands, is
yes.
that for purchase or is it restoration that you do?
That's
once
for
they
purchase.
Oh, it's for
yeah,
purchase.
Yeah, typically purchase. Like we need a credit for purchasing those kinds of set-aside lands as part of the structural stormwater controls
okay.
program
Great.
Under the permit. So when we can leverage, we can just, essentially
Absolutely.
We're helping legacy lands stretch their dollars a little bit more and we get credit as we do it. So that's about it. So if you guys have a chance between now and December 3rd to take a look at this in as much detail as you care to. And feel free to give me comments back, email, call me, send back a marked up version, whatever you like.
Will there be a public hearing or is it on the consent agenda?
I imagine they may pull it from the consent and put it on in my additional business, but that'll be the extent of public hearing. It will be that night. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Unless something drastic happens that we're not aware of yet. So sorry, that was rapid fire, but I didn't want to keep you too long.
Oh,
great.
Yeah, thanks for the
talk. Very good. All right.
Staring at the screen.
Yeah, it's nice to actually have it in your hands. If anyone else didn't get one at once, a hard copy, just let me know, and I can get one.
Do you want a hard copy?
Yeah, I would like one. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Cool.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks again.
Nice.
Appreciate
you
can pay him
now, Alex.
Yeah. Alex, you're
up.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. We have a new deputy director. He starts full time next week.
On the 12th.
The 12th. And his name is Les
McDonald.
Yep, McDonald. He's from Moscow, Idaho. He's public works director there. And so he, I think, was part-time this week, and now he's full-time starting next week, next Tuesday. Clean Water is going to be reporting to Ahmad currently. The Clean Water Commission, we're in the process. The applications for the 2020 commissioners closed on Friday. The subcommittee has reviewed all the applications and we are in the process of scheduling some interviews and hope to have a list of candidates for the council, for the county commissioner, the county, yeah, no, the county,
county
manager.
Mm-hmm.
to submit to the council by, we're going to give it to the manager by the first week of December so it can get on to the December 17th meeting. Jeff's groups have been doing a lot of their grant applications, and Andrea also, she and Erica applied for a bunch of grant applications through both, they were through Ecology and the Lower Columbia Fish Recovery Board. And I find out on Jeff's in January, and I think we find out on the Lower Columbia at the end of November, December. I know they're still in the process. I think they have interviews, I think next week, I think, for that. Jenna Kay from the county will be here in the January meeting, which is January 8th, here in this room, because the first is a holiday and the building's closed. She will be giving the County Shoreline Comprehensive Plan presentation. And right now we have Zora Oppenheimer is going to be coming in. I haven't finalized it yet, but we're going to do it either the March or April meeting or even possibly May for the Conservation District for her to come in and talk about. And then I'm also going to be having Bob Patterson come in and talk about the local source control business pollution prevention program that he puts on. Rod is working really hard on updating the stormwater manual for the permit, and which is due in June, and we've been working on the draft for the stormwater management plan, which is due to Ecology at the end of March, and we should have it, the draft, ready for you to review in hopefully at the January meeting. If not, we'll have to send it out and we'll put out the public comment. But we're hoping, we're targeting to get it for the January 8th meeting. And then just a sincere thank you to Marie, Michelle, and David for your participation and all that you've done and your leadership for your terms here on the Clean Water Commission. Really appreciate your perspective and your knowledge and all of the hard work that you've put in. I know that two candidates have indicated they want to reapply again, and David has said that he's got lots more other interesting things to do on his Wednesday nights.
Once every 2 months.
That's right. But anyway, we can still come and hang out. So I do really appreciate everything. And then I think that's pretty much it for me. Let's see if anybody has any questions.
Okay. We're going to our working group updates. Anything from the research?
We ended up having a little round table last month. It was pretty good for the group of us to kind of go over our talking points, because we've noticed that was kind of the difficult part in the front end to approach organizations and be like, tell us your entire story. So I think we've got it pretty well targeted now to where we're trying to go. Of course, it has to adapt a little bit because organizations have slightly different missions and funding, and so we have to be a little flexible with the questions there. For example, one thing we've noticed a lot is if you ask a group that primarily works with salmon habitat restoration, for example, and you ask them work that you do relative to stormwater, there's not an immediate connection. So sometimes you have to kind of weed that out and find those pieces. Interesting nonetheless, I know I have several calls in with a couple of agencies, and I'm waiting for them to get back. I think they're wanting to get the right person to talk to me, and I think you're in the same boat.
Yeah.
I got a call back from WSU Extension pretty quickly, like the next day, and I spoke with the director there, and they had a lot to say about their projects, but it was really difficult to kind of get all the details since they're state funded, and because they're also state employees, they couldn't, it was kind of like there were certain things that they didn't really want to talk about when it came to funding. They didn't want it to seem like I was like going to advocate on their behalf. So they were a little bit of an ethical, I think, constraint there.
But yeah, and I think that was what we ran into at first, where we were trying to basically create an Excel spreadsheet of question categories, and you just fill them in as you go through each organization. That mm-hmm. wasn't really going to produce as well. So I think what we're doing now is reaching out to these organizations, and then we kind of come together and put that into a report that we can bring back that says, kind of breaks it into categories a little bit more. So it's rolling now.
Do you have any timeline? Or maybe being able to bring it to the commission?
In my mind, I'd like to have something in the summer.
Maybe the July meeting.
Yeah, I know that seems a long ways away, but I think realistically, given the time, trying to have something in the summer. I mean, okay. If
with
we can get
the
feedback from people quicker and that rolls together, then I'd definitely be happy to push it forward on that. But yeah, I think if we get some more. I'm kind of looking at trying to call everybody we have on our short list now, then find out who we haven't thought of, and then try to get that all together and put it into something more that's not just a
Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it'll start picking up some speed too once we really start talking to people and seeing where the connections are between the organizations, and you know, as we're kind of getting the hang of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't really have much in outreach. Since Eric's been really great at that. let's go to partnerships.
I have a little update on Heritage Farm. I'll start with a little background. Heritage Farm has spent, I think, the last couple of years going through a master planning process, and we submitted a letter in support calling out the stormwater related things and restoration of the stream that goes through there. It was scheduled for a public hearing last July, and then it was just kind of mysteriously pulled from the agenda. There was a work session a couple, maybe 3 weeks ago, and it appears now that the council is kind of opening things up again, and there's a lot of uncertainty about what direction things may be going. There's a keen interest, I think, on the part of all of the council members to have it generate funds to pay for itself. Because otherwise, I think the money comes from the general fund, and that which is very tight. So there was a community meeting convened by Temple Lentz and Friends of Clark County, and both Temple Lentz and Julie Olson attended to talk about it because they were concerned. Their interest is wanting to see it preserved. So kind of the range of opinions that I could glean from the work session is on the chair's perspective was maybe we can create industrial land here and create jobs, to maybe we'd sell off part of this property, to let's just keep it the way that it is, or let's keep it the way it is but let's make sure we can generate some money. So everything's kind of been thrown into uncertainty, and I think for a lot of the people who participated in that two-year planning process, it's really been disheartening. I anticipate, based on the information that Julian Temple presented, is there will be a work session later in December to really tease out and get, you know, because it sounded as though there is uncertainty about actually how much revenue it may be generating, or if some of that money just goes back to the general fund or to parks, or and doesn't get really credited to Heritage Farm. So there's a lot of questions and uncertainty. And I was talking to Michelle, and we thought it might be a good idea to, again, send a letter to the council, probably along similar lines related to the stormwater and restoration of the Cougar Creek area that runs the headwaters that run through the property. So I just wanted to let you know about that. I can work with Michelle on drafting a letter and then get that out to folks. So I just lay that out there for your consideration.
If that's the motion for the letter, I'll second it.
Okay, I move we send the letter. and we'll send it out to everybody to take a look at before it gets submitted.
So, yeah, sitting in the naturescape in class, and someone said, "Did you hear they want to sell Heritage Farm?" And everyone's like, "What?"
There's money in the budget for this upcoming year. As I understand, so but I think it's good to reinforce the things that are going the support for things that are going on there now, and not to radically change things. Yeah. Should we vote?
Yeah. All in favor of writing the letter? Say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed?
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks for reporting on that. I did have one question. Are you familiar with the proposal to develop what percentage or amount of the property they're looking at with that idea?
I don't think they really have any idea.
Okay. They're just
something
trying to
that was just thrown out.
I don't think they really have any idea. They've tossed out various things, but the council itself, because they didn't have the public hearing would have allowed them to really get information about what is currently going on there, and you know, there's grant dollars that are leveraged because you know, volunteers have space there, and so it's just unfortunate that it's just sort of been thrown into kind of chaos. So what they've talked about is a food hub, but I don't know that they have any sense of what that might even be, or a farmer's market, or you know, and it's really, you know, who knows if any of these things really can generate enough funds. What I understand is it's $600,000 a year, but that includes funding for extension service. And I don't know that they're really clear on if they want extension service to pay for itself, or if they just want all of the other things that happen with Heritage Farm to pay for themselves. So it's... it's a good time to communicate with the council.
So that $600K is the annual budget from the general fund that it's spending there?
Maintenance?
Yes, which includes the primary budget for extension service and all of their programs. Mm-hmm.
It would be nice to see those documents.
Well, the work session, and maybe when I find out about it, I can shoot that out to folks in December. I think that would be a good one to attend if you want to just, or you can listen to it. They'll have an audio tape of it that explains what the expenses are, what the revenue is, how it's all parsed out.
Anything for the general discussion?
I ended up teaching a class over at Heritage Farms recently. Nice. I did the riparian planting.
Did you get that on the annual report?
Yes. Bug me about that again. It went really well.
Okay.
Yeah. And then took the participants out to some of the restoration plantings that have happened along Salmon Creek Greenway too, for an infield did it. So.
Mm-hmm.
And is anyone be able to go to the November 13th meeting?
I will be there.
Because I might be able to go.
I should be able to go to it.
Okay.
I'm going to try to.
Okay. Just all of us
well
go collectively.
Yeah. I also saw the APWA has a stormwater group now that they meet like in Kirkland. But, you know, on a quarterly basis they have activities. Sounds like just an issue.
My coworkers go to APA.
Good.
It's
nice to have a network. And that's the American Public Works Association, or non-government. okay, so speaking of the annual report,
before we leave Donald discussion, so I've been following somewhat about the Livingston Mountain mine, and then, of course, because it's very close to my house, the Washougal pit. And so I'm wondering if you can fill me in a little more on what the county's role is on the water side. I know the county is, especially in the Washougal pit, it's kind of a mess on the land use side, and it sounds like the Gorge Commission has kind of remanded it back to the county. On the water quality side, is that purely handled by ecology under NPDES, or does the county have a role on the water quality side?
I don't think we're doing anything in our division. Alice, correct me if I'm wrong, but I know the county's watching it closely through community development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is the land use piece,
yeah,
right?
But that's, yeah, even Mitch Nichols, the director there, has got an active role. So I don't think amongst our staff.
No.
Okay. That's what I thought. I mean, I thought the water quality was all handled through state NPDES permitting, but I just wanted to check.
There is a surface mining advisory committee that I think Mitch convenes, and I went to the last one. They talked primarily about Yakult Mountain Quarry and a little bit about Livingston. I don't know how frequently they have their meetings, but I thought it was really, really good because you have members of the community, and Stordahl was there, you know, just really talking directly to each other about what is happening and what isn't happening, and who gets informed and who doesn't get informed. So I think it's very much a positive step, but there's a lot of issues related to all of those mines.
I'll check with their Department of Ecology.
Yeah, not to overly generalize, but so community development obviously taking the lead, and if there was something that were triggered, whether it be in transportation staff or, you know, surface water issue or concern, you know, then they will come into, you know, those respective sections, and, you know, they might pull, you know, staff as it pertains to those issues. But we haven't been called in yet, to my knowledge. So
yeah, I think in the land use arena, though, there's conditions that are applied, and I think it's been whether or not any of those conditions have been enforced.
I mean, on the Washougal pit, there was no, on Ecology's website for a long time during this period of operations, there was no NPDES permit active on Ecology's website. And then kind of all of a sudden, there was a permit. And so it was after there was some attention on it. So that site in particular has had a history of a fairly massive sediment incursions into Gibbons Creek. So I'll go ahead and check in with folks at Ecology and see if they can tell me.
I know from what I was reading about in the newspaper, it seemed like a lot of this going on.
Yeah.
I don't know if you get on the email for Clark County Live. It comes from Mitch, and he tells you all the meetings that they're having. So that's better. Anything else for a general discussion? Annual report. So there's one on Google Docs. The one that says use this. Make sure you put in any things you've attended. Just some general good, any ideas, maybe any pictures, events you attended. So Alice can put together a nice annual report like we had last year.
And just a reminder to download it into Word, work on it, and then upload it back, because otherwise we can run into some of the editing, and then some of the things aren't available when people are making changes or things are happening. It's not
viewable. So download it, work on it, and upload it back onto the Google Docs. And then it keeps the old version, but it also keeps the new version as well. So there's history there. So we can, if somebody wanted to do a public records request, they could see whatever draft that was there. So
is there a deadline?
We have to approve it at the January 8th meeting.
Okay.
So
you should say around Thanksgiving would be the deadline to get it.
Okay.
Because my December is very, very, very busy. So
set up a deadline.
Content really should be in that Monday after Thanksgiving, please.
That's
which
December
is, you know,
2nd.
Yes, yeah, that 1st of December, so that I can, because I have that one. I also have Rod's stormwater management plan, and that there's going to be massive changes with that. And I've had to go in and do the upgrade like I did for your annual report last year. I've been in the process of doing that for his management plan, and the both of those will be on that. Hopefully, will be on the January meeting. And then there's a lot of year end and grant billing and a lot of other things going on, with especially with the holidays and things like that. So earlier is definitely better. So I would appreciate it.
I think we're in good shape this year. Proactive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, here's the event you've all been waiting for. We have to nominate and elect our chair and our vice chair for 2020. So before we start that, is there any general discussion on people that would like to volunteer for either position?
Putting us on the spot.
It's going to be a voluntold
hey,
kind of thing.
That's why I mentioned it coming in, so you can think about it.
You want me to volunteer? I can volunteer the chair. I would be fine running on that nomination.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, what about vice chair? You just have to be helpful and assistance, and if Brendan's not here, at least you haven't missed a meeting, have you? Okay. Yeah. If he's not here, you get to run the meeting.
Sue, how do you feel about being vice chair?
I feel like I've got a lot on my plate.
But you know that saying that people throw at me a lot, if you want something done, give it to a busy person. Well, I'll back off and give you a nipple. All right.
Christy?
All volunteers tribute.
Too bad Hayden wasn't
here.
Anyway.
Sounded like a volunteer.
For a vice chair, yep. I'll volunteer for vice chair.
All right. So let's start with the chair.
Is there a nomination for chair?
I nominate Brendan Addis for vice chair.
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed?
Nice try,
Brendan.
No nominations for vice chair?
I'll nominate Christy.
Okay. Do we have someone to second?
I'll second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you for stepping up.
Thank you.
I will still move forward on the strategic plan. Okay. So with our three groups, I don't know who is going to be the ninth person. Maybe we could get someone to do outreach with myself. But that will free me up to do one more time to have outreach. But the chair and the vice chair probably shouldn't be the chair of the subcommittees. So if Michelle wants to step up and chair the subcommittee, that would be much appreciated. Okay. And then partnerships would be the same.
It's a just realized we're both in.
You don't have a choice.
Yeah.
You're the only one.
I'm the only one that's
Congratulations.
So what did you just give?
Baby steps.
Oh, I'm gonna head up the research group. I'm not allowed to.
Let's try to take the workload and spread out.
The research group's quest for world domination.
Starting with stormwater.
And then who's going to interview?
Oh, for the new applicants coming in? Again,
vice chair.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect, right?
Excellent.
See?
Yeah, so we've had in place, you know, the questions, so everything's really good to
go.
And the
yeah.
past couple of years where you've got that organized.
No, it is very well laid out.
Yeah. It was fun.
Mm-hmm. And then the orientation package, too.
Yeah, we got a good set of applicants. So. 19th? Is that right?
19th?
19th is the interview?
Oh, yeah. Wow, we got really popular.
Yeah. Six applicants.
Six applicants total.
We had to drop two immediately. We just, you know.
Maybe I won't be helping you. I'll just sit in the public and keep it in.
Heckle us.
So, and this will be relevant to me next year at about this time. So if you're continuing and Michelle Gertz are continuing, is it competitive or for your spot that you're already in, or do you just kind of get to re-up, or how does that work?
You indicate that you would like to be, would like to continue, or you don't want to continue by by September 30th, according to the bylaws you guys approve. And then we open it up for applications. Everybody applies, so everything is fair. So Marie and Michelle both put in applications. And then the process continues from there. That way everything
pretty, pretty straightforward.
So I had, Michelle sent me some comments on the strategic plan this afternoon, but I was at work and I hadn't had time to look at it. So that's something I'll we'll just continue to do that in Google Docs for now. And if you, I know I don't have Word on my iPad, so it's really hard to edit. But I do on my computer at home. So if someone has that same situation where you don't have Word and you just want it, send someone else your changes, like Alice and I, or, you know, that's fine too. And we can just do it. Because sometimes that Google Docs is really.
Actually, that's one of the things that I discovered when I got back from training today was that Michelle Gertz's edits. I couldn't find actually in Google Docs.
Oh.
So I'm not sure where they were.
Wondering if I was the only
so,
one.
No. So I actually had to like copy and paste into another Word document and then upload that. So that's why. Please download into Word and then upload back.
Because in Word you can use track changes, right? Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that's why. Because in Google Docs I think it just...
But yeah,
so
it's
for
not
some reason in the Google Docs then there's some... There's some weird sharing things going on with it where you can't edit or you lose all of your track changes or you lose your coloring and it doesn't tell you what is new and what's not new.
It lags it pretty. Just, if right. two people are using it, it lags like crazy.
But we will be going to Office 360 very, very soon. So I'm sure this will all change.
So it's maybe SharePoint?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's all PDF-based, too.
You can get the Word app for the iPad, too. Okay. And then you can download, I mean, you can edit documents just like you can on the computer.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. Okay. Anything else for the group? No. to say thank you to David for serving since 2015.
I want to say thank you to you, and it's been a pleasure working with all of you, and I wish you the best in your future endeavors. I hope we have a chance to work together again someplace down the road. Temple Lens mentioned to me openings, which I did not pursue this time around, but who knows, next year may be more possible for me to do some things. In about a month from now, I'm heading down to South America for 6 months. So.
How far
down? Ecuador.
Bring us back a parrot.
It's not as nice as Paris, but it's a lot less expensive.
Oh, no, a parrot.
Parrot.
Like the bird.
Rents down there are really inexpensive. I'm renting a studio apartment for $400 a month.
The food is amazing.
Yeah, really, really reasonable. So,
I have a mentor, kind of father figure that I grew up with who expatted down there with his retirement.
Send me his contact information. Yeah. I'm going to be in contact.
Yeah.
So,
definitely.
Yeah.
Adjourn the meeting with plenty of time for Alice to get
good. Have a great time.
Thank you.